So good to see you all today. We're in the book of Revelation, and we're beginning chapter 2, so it's a new section. We've spent some time in chapter 1, finished that up last week, and now we are peeking around the corner into the next chapter. In fact, the next two chapters, 2 and 3, go together like hand and glove, and so we'll begin a pursuit of studying those. Now, your homework assignment is to read over chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. I think that will be helpful to you. We won't take quizzes each week, but we'll just trust you to read those over and look at the things that are coming. Let me begin by saying my title to my sermon is too general, isn't it? It's too wide. My discussion includes only certain local churches. I want to concentrate on those that mostly or substantially fit themselves to the Bible. There are a lot of places called churches, a lot of what people would call our local churches, but not all local churches fit themselves to the Bible. That's my concern as we look through these verses. What are the basic beliefs of the Bible? What is the basic behavior of the Christian faith? That's the kind of local church that we want to consider. That's the kind of local church that we are, right? That's our concern, that we be that kind of church. So we're going to take this idea as the sieve to strain the content of our thoughts over the next number of weeks. When we say local church, we just don't include any and everything that might want to label itself in that way. So in taking that title, is every church the same? Answer number one to our sermon title is no, every church is not the same. Even every church that would substantially and basically fit themselves to the Bible. They're not the same. I'm sure it would not be a challenge to you to fill out a long list of clear differences between Bible-centered churches. Here are a few of those differences. Congregation size. Worship style. Building architecture, if they even meet in a building. Geographic location, average age of members, types of problems and challenges. Spiritual gifts. Number and character of church officers. Types of service to the community. We can go on and on with a list of things that tell us local churches are different. As we read through Revelation 2 and 3, if the Lord gives us that time together, we'll find there are lots of differences, and these are all considered local churches. Many different things. You see, we cannot overlay, although a lot of people try to do it, we cannot overlay everything of one local church onto another local church and just see it all fit perfectly. It's not going to do that. Local churches around here, local churches around the world, you can't do it. You can't take local churches from history and overlay them on local churches today. They're not the same. So no, every church, every local church, every Bible-based local church is not the same. On the other hand, yes. I think every local church that fits within the borders that we have set as our theme is the same. We are exactly the same as these seven churches and many others through church history and today. I want to mention just four similarities that I notice here in these two chapters. And it appears to me that these similarities are contributing solutions to all of the needs and problems of every local church, including Reformed Baptist Church, if we have any needs and problems. The four things that I want to mention that make all local churches the same help to help local churches that are the same. These similar things contribute to all of the needs, to solve all of the needs and problems of local churches today, including this one. You see, when we talk about these things, we don't want to act like there's no elephant in the room. Because there's always an elephant in the room when we're looking at the Word of God and we are within the bounds of a local church. And so what we have to say can be brought to bear on our congregation. You see, it gets my attention when I find things in letters like these that help us. I hope it gets your attention too. So what are the 4 points that can make a positive difference for all local churches, like those at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and Lewisburg? We'll make 8 instead of 7. Well, all we need to do is listen to what Jesus says. What are the 4 things? You could perhaps find others, but what are 4 things that Jesus takes that ties all of these churches together? Then we'll look at so many of the differences between these churches. First of all, point A, Jesus directs the same command to all. The same command. All 7 letters start the same way, right? Each time Jesus tells John to write. There it is in verse number 1, the first part of it, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Here's a command from the Lord Jesus to John, I want you to write. And he says it every time, over and over, direct command to John, I want you to write this. He's already said it in verse 11 of chapter 1, verse 19 of chapter 1, write, 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 I want you to write. But if that's the case, what's the indirect command to all of us? That's a direct command to John. Not to us, we're not to write, but the indirect command to us, for every local church, making all of us the same, is what? You read. You read. If John is to write, why is it written? It's so that we read it. You see, the letters here will do the churches no good if the pastors and the people are not familiar with them through someone reading them. Some places they don't have the whole Bible to read. Some places, like ours, you probably have several Bibles to read. And Jesus' indirect command here is, if I'm ordering John to write it, I'm telling you, read it. Read it. The reference point for attending to the good, the bad, and the ugly existing in local churches is what is written and what thus must be read. That's the hub of the whole wheel. All spokes go out from that. Local churches, I've written it for you. You read it. You consider it. So the beliefs and the behaviors taught here by Jesus are securely set up for later reference. This wasn't just for John's day. This just wasn't for those churches. And after they all pass by, then this whole idea floats away. No, no, no. This is a setup, a beginning, a foundation for all local churches to consider. Every local church, since these 7 in Revelation 2 and 3, has the same opportunity and the same responsibility to read what Jesus commanded John to write. How often are you reading the Bible? How often are we reading together the Bible? Every local church is the same way. Any local church that avoids or alters what Jesus commanded John to write and churches to read goes into the ditch. Can it be otherwise? And it will stay in the ditch as long as there's not the reading and thus the consideration and the studying and the meditating, all those subpoints that go with reading. I love the way chapter 1, verse 3 begins. Blessed is he who reads. Do you want a blessing? Do you look for a blessing? Well, here's a direct way to receive a blessing. Blessed is the one who reads what I've got John writing here. The seven letters and all of the other chapters of the book of Revelation. Here for blessing, that we might read them. Is every church the same? Yes, every church is obligated to read what Jesus told John to write. And of course, this includes all the rest of Scripture too. We're not limiting to these two places. All the Bible is written for our reading profit. This applies to Reformed Baptist Church of Lewisburg all the time and at this moment. That's why when we structure our Sunday school, hopefully when we have our groups together, hopefully when we have Bible studies of one sort or another, it is Bible study. It is Bible reading, Bible focused. That's the key to this whole thing. We can't get beyond the opening words of verse 2 or into any of the section if we aren't convinced of the fact we need to read the Bible. And it's good for us. It will help us to do that. The way ahead for us is to read and do the Bible. It is not simply to follow certain parliamentary laws. When we have meetings or structure our building, it's not parliament. It's not parliamentary laws that are talked about here. Whatever good they are and however much they may benefit us, we're not talking about that. We're not to cling to documents that may need change within our congregation. Those things are all flexible. This is not, read this. It's not to survey the opinions of members and non-members that's critical here in terms of what Jesus is saying. He never says any of that all the way through these letters, however good it may be, and it may be helpful in some way, but I know what is helpful. He says, John, write this. Why? Why? So that they'll read it. And reread it, and read it again. The command is to read the Bible. And that is what we will keep doing, isn't it? That is what we want to consider always, every time. Are all local churches the same? All Bible-based, Bible-believing local churches? Well, they should be the same in this way right here. We read the Bible, whatever else we may want to read, whomever else we want to read. We read the Bible. This is written. Point B then, Jesus stresses the same claim to all. Not only does he give a command that covers all local churches, he stresses the same claim to all these churches. It's only one word in the Greek language. The English needs two words to translate the meaning. It's right there in the beginning of verse 2, chapter 2. I know. And he says it every time to every one of these churches. I know. That is what ties all churches together. The echo bounces back and forth between these chapters, between the letters. It's a very simple statement, but it ought to get us right in the solar plexus. It ought to be a punch that we feel when it says, I know. John quoted this same author of Scripture, quoted in chapter 4, verse 29 of his gospel, a Samaritan woman at a well. You remember her? And she said about Jesus to the people of the town, she's saying to them, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. I know, Jesus says. And he says it to every local church. Isn't that the point here in Revelation? As we read these seven letters to local churches, we are impressed. In fact, we may be at times depressed to realize how completely Jesus knows local church congregations from the inside out, from the outside in, everybody. Jesus knows the weaknesses and the strengths. We'll see that in these letters. Jesus knows the dangers and the opportunities. He knows the troublemakers and the peacemakers in local churches. He knows the failures and successes. He knows the past of a local church. He knows the future of a local church. He knows the right now. He says to every local church, now just get it. I know. He starts out saying, you read. And I know. It's interesting, isn't it? In these letters, Jesus even singles out individuals. He names names. He singles out individuals who live for him. Chapter 2, verse 13, he speaks about one man who lives for him, and he notes that. And those who live a lie. Chapter 2, verse 20. Those who jeopardize the saints and those who build up the saints. You see, Jesus is pretty thorough here explaining, now I know exactly what's going on. I know everybody down to the individual. I know. The glorified Savior knows the intensity of satanic pressure. Chapter 2, verse 13. He knows the opposition of the world. He knows the personal struggles with remaining sin. The list goes on and on and on, but we need to get the point and feel the weight. He knows. That ought to mean something to a local church. You see, every church is the same in that way. Every one of them. That means that the people who are the church are the same in every way. You know, Jesus is not simply saying, hey, I know the architecture of your building. He does. But that's not the real issue. And we could list a number of other things like that, what he's talking about. And we'll see it as we read the letters. The very first letter here, he says, I know you folks, you left your first love. Whoa. What's that all about? Whatever it is, he says, I know. I know exactly. The people who are the church, Jesus knows. And that means Reformed Baptist Church. Now, I know that to some degree this can be a very encouraging thing to hear, to say Jesus knows. And we use that at times through the trials and troubles of life. And we might share with someone, well, Jesus knows. Jesus sees. Jesus is near. And all of that's very true. And we may find some of that here. But the heavier point that he's trying to make is I see a lot more than that. I know a lot more than to encourage you. According to these seven letters, it can be quite a challenge to realize he knows. It was an English class in high school way back in 64, I think. Mr. Dancerow was our English teacher. And to this day, I can't figure out how he knew things that he knew when he was outside the class. He would come in and he'd say, oh, something like, Mr. Gray. And I knew something was going to come about then. I had just thrown an eraser across the classroom while he was out. And he knew. But his knowing is nothing compared to Jesus. Who knows when we throw erasers in church? So every church, including RBC, is the same in that Jesus directs the same command to all of them. It's an indirect command, granted, but it's a command to read. Read the Bible. And every church, including RBC, is the same in that Jesus stresses the same claim to every one of them. He said, just remember, I know. And he puts it right at the beginning of every one of the letters. I know, he says. So whatever he says after that, there's no point debating him and arguing with him. He says, I know. Point C, Jesus issues the same call to all. Seven times Jesus repeats. You see, this is why I'm saying every church is the same. He does the same thing for all seven churches. Do you see it there in chapter 2, verse 7 with the first church? He who has an ear, let him hear. We remember these words from the four Gospels, don't we? We can go back there and we can read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can find that same phrase over and over again. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. And here it is again. Jesus calls for a local church spiritual hearing test. It's right there in verse 7, verse 11. Verse 17, and on it goes. Jesus issues the call to all the persons together in a local church. But you know what's interesting here? He also singles everybody out. Do you see how he puts it in verse 7? He who has an ear. Let's go one by one, he says. Let's not go by bunches. We're not going to let anyone get lost in the crowd. We want to have this test for each person individually. No one ducks behind someone bigger, someone more obvious, more out front, perhaps. Nobody ducks behind them. Jesus does not speak to groups or to families of three or five or 16 or whatever. He doesn't break it down that way. He just says, he who. Let's go one by one. Let's take individuals here. This is a hearing test for the whole congregation, one at a time. One at a time. The test is on what Jesus commanded John to write. You see, it's all about your reading program. Jesus says to John, write, indirectly says to us, read. And now he says, I want to see if you were listening when they were reading. Isn't that what he says there? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we hearing what he says to the... And notice it's churches, plural. Every time, every letter, it says churches. What he's saying to the churches, we're not only responsible for what he says to the one church, but to the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh. All the churches, are you listening? You see, these are all for all of us. These are all for our church. Every church is the same in this way. Same call. I never did like cumulative tests. I'd rather just have a test on the last chapter, but when the prof says, okay, now from chapter 1 through 17, we're going to have the exam next week, and Jesus is basically saying the same thing. You've got chapter 2, you've got chapter 3, you've got seven letters, you've got to consider them all. Did you ever stop and think, what are some signs of a spiritual hearing problem? I wear hearing aids. Some of you do. Some of the signs of a physical hearing problem are, huh? What? Could you repeat that? Sorry, the battery died. I wonder how many people in local churches read the word and say, huh? Could you repeat that? Maybe we need to. Signs of a spiritual hearing problem. We're going to read through these next seven letters and we'll pick out some signs. Maybe spiritual disinterest is one example. Somebody that just isn't interested, doesn't care, and you say, are you listening? Are you hearing? How can you not care? Aren't you hearing? And you're so disinterested. Maybe spiritual activity, lack of spiritual activity. Sorry, I didn't hear you, coach. I didn't know I was supposed to run around again. Could it be looking the other way when there is sin? An indication that we're not quite hearing what's he saying. Would hypocrisy, when one pretends to be on the outside what he or she is not really on the inside, be an indication of not hearing? Jesus must have something or some things in mind for him to issue the same call to every church. That means you don't like it at RBC and you go to XYZ church. I guarantee you, Jesus has the same word for them there. He knows, and now he knows you there. He knew you here, he'll know you there. He knows if you listen here, he knows if you listen there. He who has an ear to hear, he's got to do it wherever he is if he claims to be one of Christ's. You know what it seems to me? It seems to me that this call is a plea to not play church. Did you ever hear that expression, playing church? Children play house, or they play tea party with Mr. Bear and Miss Bunny, and that's okay. You've probably even played that too at one point or another. But Jesus does not want to play church with local churches. He says, I'm not going to sit down with Mr. Bear and Miss Bunny and just have a tea party and leave it at that. Does that mean RBC? Is the same call coming to RBC today to hear, to listen? Is it in some way penetrating your own heart, your own conscience, your own mind? Are you saying, well, maybe I haven't been hearing as well as I should have? I don't know. Maybe you've all heard well. Has something occurred with or within RBC that would prompt Jesus to reissue this call to us? Same command, same claim, same call to every local church. And now the last one. Jesus offers the same caution to all. In the middle of verse 7, chapter 2, and in the other six letters, there's a blinking yellow light. If you had to pick out one word from verse 7 of chapter 2, what's the blinking light there? Well, we could go several directions, but the way that I want to go, because each time this blinking light shows the way into promised eternal blessings, I must say that's a pretty important light, caution light. And we have to say to ourselves, well, it's got to be the word overcome to him who overcomes. And to everybody, in every letter, in every local church, it says the same thing. Jesus says, now I'm going to make some promises to you as churches, as Christians, and they're wonderful promises that we will be able to look at. But he says, I want you to hear first, before the promise, the word overcome. Isn't that there? That word throbs with meaning. It is not just hearing, but it's hearing with cleats on. It's hearing with proof of purchase. It's the person who really hears who then overcomes. Again, isn't the focus on the individual? It says to him who overcomes. It doesn't say we're going to have a majority of the local church, and if a majority overcomes, then everybody's okay. It's not what it says, is it? This whole idea of overcoming, again, is like the hearing test. It's individual, one by one. Some professing Christians hear and overcome, and I trust you're all in that category. That's wonderful. But some Christians hear and fall behind. That's the implication here. Overcoming means getting in and staying in the fight for God. Overcome. It means victory. It implies taking nothing for granted. Local church life is harder than offering envelopes and singing on the praise team. That's elementary, my dear Watson, in terms of the life of the local church. Not to offend our praise team. Overcoming is standing strong when others turn away. That's what overcoming is. And there are going to be those that turn away. There are going to be those that throw in the towel. There are going to be those who say, I quit. I've had enough. I don't want any more. Boy, that could be the case in these seven churches. Imagine the church where it says, your church exists where Satan's seat is. Wow, I'm out of that church. I don't want to be there. No, he says to them, now you overcome right there. Right there. In that place. Overcoming is resisting sin when family members embrace it. Overcoming is humbly repenting when others rebel with pride. Overcoming is by faith stepping through doors of opportunity. I can't wait to get to that church when the Lord says to them, I've got an open door of opportunity for you. You're going to go through it. Overcoming is, yeah, let's go through it. While others around simmer in their lukewarm apathy. Overcoming does not mean quit. Overcoming does not allow coasting. It needs the break off and the throttle down in a race toward the eternal blessings promised. He said, to him who overcomes, I'll give this white stone and this place and all these other eternal blessings. That makes it pretty important to me. And to repeat, this caution is the same message to all local churches. You cannot go to another local church on the face of the earth, go to China, go to Indonesia, go wherever you want to go, to whatever kind of worship or whatever else they do in that local church. The message is the same to every one of them. This is not for a class of church, a size of church, a church with a certain past, a local body of believers who have arrived at some level or some status. No, none of that is here. And I ought to quit. So, is every church the same? All local churches have the same command, the same claim, the same call, and the same caution from Jesus. Now, how does this help us as a local church? Well, hopefully it prepares us and stirs us to obey the command to read. It helps us with all of these other points to extract applications to us as a group. And by doing that, we can move closer to the finished product that Jesus wants us to be. We're not there yet, are we? Are we as a local church exactly to the point where Jesus wants us to be? I don't think so. Now, what are two takeaways? Call them lessons, whatever you want to call them. Number one, I believe by looking at this, by looking at these four things from Jesus for every local church of every age, wherever they are, I believe Jesus loves local churches. I think that's fantastic. Jesus loves local churches. His command and his claim and his call and his caution are proof that he wants the best for all local churches, every single one of them, even in the condition they're in chapters 2 and 3 and today. If they're his local churches, he loves them. Otherwise, why would he caution them? Why would he talk to them? Why would he give them directions? Why would he specifically try to direct their path? Because he loves them. RBC, Reformed Baptist Church, Jesus loves us. What a wonderful, encouraging thing to hang on to, no matter what goes on or what takes place. I have a Savior walking in the midst of the churches, and when he walks here, says, I love you, folks. I love you. Now, how encouraging is that? To see him go to all that he goes to here. Wow. The second takeaway, then, that I have from that, all right. First one is, I believe Jesus loves local churches. Second one is, I believe we're to love local churches. If he does, then I should, right? I should love. If Jesus loves RBC, then shouldn't we love it too? And some proof of our love is to fit ourselves into the command, the claim, live like we know he knows, the call, listen to what the Holy Spirit says, the caution, fight to overcome, to win. That's what we, who believe that Jesus loves us, we love one another to the point of we're going to fight to win. We're going to overcome because Jesus, who loves me, wants me to. Don't doubt that if he were here visibly, he's here, but if he were visibly, that he'd say same kind of things as he's already said. What a wonderful forward look we as a church have. I mean, it's unreal. A Savior loves us, we who love what he loves, and all of this instruction. I'm glad every church is the same in this way. Who cares about the differences? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your Son being such a good encourager who knows how to lead his sheep by still waters and green pastures. Thank you for the Word. Help us to be faithful readers. Help us to be those who know you know. Help us, our God, to be passing our hearing test and to be well on our way to be overcomers. Oh, our God, we all want to be overcomers. Help us with that. Left alone, we'll stumble and fall away and not care. So we need you. Guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.